know, the last of the period. So I think the point you are raising is a serious point that we should take into consideration.
Honourable Launders and then the Honourable Swan.
Chairperson, you raise an important point, how that is normally dealt with is via the regulations. And also, what the President could do, for example, is, and we'd need the Minister's cooperation in this regard, is to ensure that the Act is not signed into law in one go, so that when he signs it into law, he says, that transitional provision remains in force until, and also the section relating to the repeal is not signed into law. So we hold back on the repeal, leave the transitional provisions in operation until such time as the review and the audit are done, and then the declassification, continued classification, moving over to the national declassification database, all that happens. And once all that is complete, then the repeal will kick in. But Chair, it may seem clumsy, but that's normally how it's done.
I think that's a very positive contribution just to formulate that. I was just thinking of another possibility. I don't know whether it's correct, where one could say in the transitional arrangements we've got the clause, any information classified under any previous law or myth shall remain classified notwithstanding the repeal of such previous act. A transitional arrangement. I don't know how that ties in with what Mr. Landis said, whether it has an impact, but that's something we can maybe look at as a possible way. And then the next section is subject to section 20, is item 2, which is already there, which then says the automatic review must take place.
May I ask through you to the Honourable Landers a question? Just, and I did say let's not work by examples, but notionally, so I'm triggering my own criticism. But let's assume that today a piece of information has been classified in total violation of one of the criteria we are imposing in this Act. It's been classified to protect, keep secret an egregious violation of law, corruption, or something terrible. What happens in terms of this language to that piece of information? It would remain, as I understand it, the Act will not impact on it, and will remain there until declassified. How does it get declassified? It gets declassified if it is picked up through the process of review, if it is more than 10 years, or by the head of state going through the entire process. There will not be anything in law, through the operation of law, which will prompt that operation to be that classification to be in violation of law. Now, if the same thing is done under this Act, that piece of information will not be validly classified. So you have this disparaging difference where the old piece of information which violates this Act survives, awaiting actions which may or may not be taken by the administration to correct it, and the same piece of information purported to be classified under this Act would be illegally and invalidly classified. I think that this, if I've succeeded of conveying that sufficiently clearly, highlights the problem and the difficulty. this highlights the difficulty we have, where doesn't work. It, whatever we allow to survive must be subject to this act. Otherwise, that which is illegal in terms of this act will be protected, and actions which would not be.
The Honourable Mentor and then the Honourable Landers.
Actually, the question was to Honourable Landers, but I would like to ask Honourable Ambrosini a question that relates to his question that Honourable Landers must reply to. First, you must clarify me if, as a principle of law, you write the law for the future or you write it for the past. In addition to my question, I would like to know, ask Honourable Ambrosini, what happens to apartheid law? If you write a law, when this parliament wrote new law in the democratic dispensation, and there were records of laws that came from the apartheid dispensation, if I ask you a question, juxtapose a question alongside yours. How do you respond to that? What happens to the apartheid laws? Because we are talking about a transitional period and the subject to repeal. That was your own words, or was it was Honorable Swart's edition. That any other law that will be, because he said that in the transitional arrangement we will include myths and we will include any other law, and we would add the wedding subject to this act and subject to? Yes. So that covers the question that Honorable Ambrosini is inquiring about, I think.
Honorable Landers?
Sure, let's try and think this through logically. This is what the transitional provision will say, more or less. Any information classified under the Protection of Information Act of 1982, the MIS guidelines, or any other law remains classified subject to this act. Right. What does this act say? This act says the organ of state that classified information is responsible for its declassification and downgrading. It also says where an organ of state is defunct, in that situation, the agency takes responsibility as if it is the head of organ of state and is therefore responsible for its declassification and downgrading. Okay. So it will do that. Okay. The other point we need to bear in mind, Chairperson, in this process, so nothing is wrong, provided we approve this transitional provision. Where we'd need to just apply our minds is what we've put in Clause 20, which is a maximum protection period. Clause 20 says, information may not remain classified for longer than a 20-year period unless the head of the organ of state that classified the information certifies to the satisfaction of his or her minister, and then it sets out certain criteria. But there's still a qualification there, so the declassification is not automatic, okay? So I think, Chair, if we follow this transitional provision, I don't think we'll have a problem.
I'm happy.
Steve?
I agree with Mr. Landers, but what you didn't add in is notwithstanding the repeal of that act. Are you, when you read it, can I just give you a wording as I suggested? Subject to this act, comma, any information classified under the Protection of Information Act of 1982, the MIS or any other law shall remain classified, notwithstanding the repeal of such previous laws. And that's the suggestion. We can look at the legal implications of that if that covers what we intend. Purely what we want is that those laws remain classified, and then subject to this Act, there'll be an automatic review, 20 years, all those kick in terms of this Act, notwithstanding that those previous laws will be repealed by this Act.
Now, honourable members, you are now suggesting that that be added in the transitional, under the transitional clause 49. Am I correct? There is presently a clause dealing with something similar there. Are you happy that that clause can stay as it is and that this thing can be added as an additional clause?
I would urge that we leave what is there in its format, because that is doing something else, okay? And what we've agreed to now can be added in somewhere there in the transitional provisions, either before or after, but we leave the drafters to decide that.
Is the 3 or the 4? I know the clause that you want inserted.
I don't want to even argue that.
At the moment, it appears there are 3. There are two clauses there. It seems that this would be a 3. Am I correct? Am I correct, Honourable Members? If you look at document 11, the one you got today, and you look on page 85 and 86. At the bottom of 85, there's a bracket 2. And then if you turn over, there's no bracket 3. The B and the C apply to 2. So it seems that this clause that you are now wanting inserted would be a bracket 3. Am I correct, Ms. Boyce?
No, it will be before 2, sir.
Well, then the 2 will become the 3, and the 3 will be...
Okay.
I don't know why you want to change the numbering now. It seems just... If you just put it at the back, it would be... You can juggle it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's just keep the legal... keep the legal... structures and follow you.
Ms. Boyce, do you have the wording that... the Honourable Swatske. The only issue now is where you're going to insert this. There seems to be no support for my proposal that it be inserted as a sub 3.
You said before.
We can insert it as a sub clause 2, because sub clause 3, we've got further processes that's on a separate page that we will give out to the committee now when we deal with that.
But you've got the wording. Now, Honourable Members, that wording is sealed. Can we go back to the thing that was under discussion, which was the definition of classified information?
Yeah. Under the original bills, page 25, clause 50 that deals with the repeal of laws, it says there under sub 2, section 83, sub 3C of the Defence Act is repealed. Why are we repealing that? Does it have any reference to what we've just discussed, firstly? If it doesn't, then why are we repealing it? I know we were going to get there, but if it has relevance to what we've just been discussing, then we need to consider that.
Chairperson, it relates to section 83(3) of the Defence Act. That's at the bottom of page 7 of the working document. And that relates to the repository that's created in the Defence as indicated.
It's actually quoted here in the document.
Chairperson, just another, if I may. In 83(3), subclause 3B, it indicates no record may be transferred to the National Archives. That's the bit that I underlined in the footnote as well.
can we cross that bridge when we get there? Seems that we're trying to cross too many bridges. Back to classified information. Having solved the problem somewhere else, can we deal with this problem now? So the proposal was that this definition just refers to this act. Is there any Honourable Mania, are you going to agree to such a drastic change in this definition? Can we delete now what the thing is going to read like? Is classified information means state information that has been determined under this Act, full stop. Oh, yeah, classified. Full stop. Yes, full stop. Are you agreeing then that the rest be deleted? Because I know when we come back you're going to, the tendency is let's put it back. It's too much words that we took out. Yes, Honourable Honour.
Should we also say, under this Act, comma, subject to whatever clause it is here in the transitional provision? So that there's a direct reference there, Chair, that you can't simply ignore that body of information and how it must be treated.
Your state law advisor seems to think there's something unsound about that in law. Can you tell us why?
No, Chairperson, it's just the words, this Act is already defined as well, and it means this Act, so anything in this Act.
Honourable members agree to. Determined shall be deleted, and it shall now be that has been classified in the past tense under this Act, full stop. And you will delete all those other clauses that you spent half a day on insisting must go in. They now have been deleted, and I shall see that they are deleted permanently. Now, can we go on, Honourable Members?
Well, should I let one of the colleagues pick up the next one? It's saving it. I'll do that if you so wish. Hostile activity. Now, we really did end up with a camel here. The we wanted the definition, and I don't know whether we should discuss it here when we discuss the actual language of hostile activity as incorporated in the crime of espionage. But we wanted to make the point here, as I understood it, that the state is an entity which is not equal to the republic. The republic is the entire country which is organized in a republic. But includes the people, includes the territory. I mean, the three notions of the power, the people and the territory. The power of the republic, organized as a republic, is exercised through the state. So those were the concepts that we were trying to capture, and to avoid the identity that the republic is the state, which was reminiscent of the days in which we had a state president, while today we've got a president of the republic. I'm fine in terms of aggression against the state. Sabotage and terrorism aimed at the people of the republic, not of the state. I mean, I'm not a person of the state. I'm a person of the republic. Or a strategic asset of the state, whether inside or outside the republic, not the state. Because if it happens in my house, my house is outside the state, thanks God. But within the Republic. Any activity aimed at changing the constitutional order of the Republic, not of the state. So these are my amendments. Should I go through that again? Aggression against the state, fine. Sabotage or terrorism aimed at the people of the Republic instead of state. Strategic assets of the state, not mine, because I'm part of the Republic. Whether inside or outside the Republic, not the state. An activity aimed at changing the constitutional order of the
Republic.
Of the Republic. Thanks.
I agree with every word the doctor has just said, Chair. If you look at the definition of the state, a few pages later on, it reads, the state means the state of the Republic of South Africa.
Honourable members, the terminology shouldn't be, I'll get to the honourable mentor now, the terminology shouldn't be strange to you because it comes from Paya. And Paya refers to the Republic. Paya, my understanding from the distance, is that Paya was largely based on the Canadian version of Access to Information Act, which was a 1980 Act, which came before PIA. And I think that PIA learned a lot from that act. If you look at the Canadian Act, where they have exactly the same terminology, subversives or hostile activities, and in their definition it means espionage against Canada and any state aligned or associated with Canada. So again, they're referring to the country, or I don't know, this terminology of the state with a small s and the state with a big s and the republic. Why it becomes so confusing and encouraging such a large debate on this thing. We've changed it now to refer to the republic, which is consistent with PIA. Honourable Mentor.
See, I don't have a problem with the Republic. I think it's the right thing to do. I agree fully. I wanted to raise the issue of espionage, and I wanted to know why, in terms of B, subsection B, where you list sabotage and you list terrorism, you have omitted espionage, because espionage is an act of hostility. So I strongly feel that we should edit, and in fact we've also pointed out that in the Canadian Act, under hostility, espionage is specifically referred to as well. So I don't know why have we taken out or omitted to insert espionage, say, as a hostile act against the Republic.
Is that a question, Honourable Member?
It's a proposal. Both, I'm asking you what happened,
okay,
but I'm also proposing in the same breath that we should add espionage there.
The answer, Honourable Member, is that espionage, first of all, the definition, we're looking at the definition clause, so obviously the definition must apply to something in the text. In the text you will find under the offences that there is an offence, there are offences that relate to subversive and hostile activities, and hence that particular term or expression has been it's been captured in the definition clause. Now, under the offences side, it's a special offence, the subversive and hostile activities. And in the offences side, espionage has been captured as a separate offence. Hence, it doesn't appear here in this, in the definition clause. Yes, Honourable Maine.
Chair, do you want to tell me that sabotage and terrorism is not mentioned anywhere else in the Act? The fact that you have mentioned sabotage and terrorism here, is it because you have not mentioned it anywhere else in the Act? I precisely want espionage, even if it was previously defined or referred to somewhere else, to be specifically defined as a hostile, an act of hostility against the Republic.
Honourable Mania.
I think the Honourable Burgess is right. Espionage and hostile activity are two separate definitions because they are related to two separate offences. And if we were to collapse them, we might incur difficulty when we deal with the offences. Perhaps a suggestion on a way forward would be to come back to this when we deal with the whole question of amendments to the section dealing with offences.
I would honestly do that, Chair, because, I mean, we're halfway to folding one.
Honourable Mentor, I would encourage you to look at the offence of espionage in the bill and the offences of hostile activities.
Man, I cannot hear you, sorry, can you speak louder?
No, I was talking to the Honourable Mentor and requesting or encouraging her to look at the offence of espionage as it's contained in the bill, and also the subsequent offence which just follows it, which deals with hostile activity. You will see that there's very little difference in the wording. If you actually don't read it very carefully, you would think it's the same offence. But when you find and see the difference, you would actually see what we're talking about. Now, what we tried to do in your absence was, because the wording is so very similar in the two offences, espionage and hostile activity, we try to join the two and then just look at dealing with the sentences, making the sentences, the punishment different. In your absence the other day... I'm merely trying to say that it's work covered. I'm not trying to be disrespectful on November. Because the process that you are asking the state law advisor to do, we've already done that. That's why I'm explaining to you. And we tried to see whether we could collapse the two and under espionage have one extended offense that would include the hostile activities. There was lots of argument about it now and lots of confusion. And I then said, look, you people agreed, let's look at it. Now you seem not to be happy with this, so let's separate it. So we have got an agreement on espionage. That is the offence of espionage. The question of the offence of hostile activity has not been agreed upon. We're merely looking at the definition now, but we are still going to, when we get to the text of the offences, have to deal with how do we deal with the offence of hostile activity. There was a proposal from the Mania and Smuts group, supported by some, that whole offences under hostile activity should be deleted. And I said, let's come back to that, so it's been flagged. What we're dealing with is just a part of the offence, it's just a definition. Whether we agree on the definition or not, we are still going to have to come back eventually when we get to the text, the body of the bill, to see whether we want this offence or whether we don't want this offence. And I think what has been proposed now is to leave this as it is, and to deal with the definition again once we get to the offence itself. Honourable Landers?
Just to add to what you've just explained to the Honourable Mento, Chairperson, I think it arose from the fact that opposition party members were demanding to know where do you find this. No way, there's no such thing as hostile activity. Until we pointed out to them that it actually is found in the promotion of access to information. That's where it's
with respect, I pointed out to you that the definition is subversive and hostile activity.
All right, then to correct it even further, it was the Honourable Dean Smuts who pointed out that that is where it is found. And in PIA, it goes further and sets out that this is what is meant by hostile activity.
No, that's without saying the decision that would eventually have to be taken if there is no agreement is whether those offences should be deleted or whether they should be retained. But we have not yet got there, Yes, Honourable Landers.
And Chair, the distinct difference between the offence of espionage as opposed to the offence of the hostile activity is that the offence of espionage seeks to benefit another state or a non-state actor like Al-Qaeda. Whereas in the offense of hostile activity, it is an offense that prejudices the Republic or the state of South Africa. That's the...
The Honorable Abrasini and then the Honorable Mayne.
Okay, we're having this discussion. I think it's valuable that we have it here. We're all focused rather than resuming it ex novo when we get there. I'm happy with this. Again, it's not my happiness that...
Ex novo or de novo?
It's classic, rather medieval. There's lots of medieval language, Latin that goes into the... Okay, but... I'm the one who is accused to delay things. So I'm expressing my personal happiness. It's not that I'm the only one to be satisfied, but I can only speak for myself. I think we have cracked this nut. The issue was that prejudice didn't mean anything, and there was always prejudice in disclosing classified information, because classified information could only have been classified if its disclosure was prejudicial to the state. Here we have created the higher threshold that we wanted. So the physical aspect is there. I'm happy. We need to deal with the intentional aspect. And let me just tell you this now, because then when we get there, it becomes a disjointed. I've sent you, and this both in respect of sabotage, I'm sorry, both in respect of espionage and hostile activity. We felt that we dealt with intentional aspect by inserting the word intentionally. I've sent you the language of the crime of espionage in the United States, where the word used is willfully. Now, as I understand it, and again, I'm no great expert of criminal law, but the difference between intentionally and willfully lies in the fact that when you intentionally requires your intention to conduct the relevant conduct, I intentionally push this down. Willfully means your intention to achieve the results. I push this down because I want to hit somebody down there. I could intentionally do this without wanting the results. Now, this is very relevant when we are talking about this type of conduct, especially so much more when we're dealing with the with benefiting a state. You may intentionally give it, but you may end up benefiting the state benefiting the foreign state without willing that result, without wanting to do so. So I will argue there that intentionally should be substituted to willfully.
Okay.
Honourable members, please allow me now to give you my expert opinion here. In common law in South Africa, whether you are using the word intentionally, willfully, or knowingly, you are complying with the requirement of all criminal law offences, or the requirement of mens rea. The only other issue that it can refer to is negligence or recklessness, and that's specific to specific crimes like culpable homicide, where you can commit the same offence. The difference between culpable homicide and murder would be that the one person actually was intentionally, had the intention, and the other person had the negligence. He was negligent. And it also refers to negligent driving, where there's a specific offense that requires the mens rea to be that of negligence. So you will find in many statutes throughout this republic that sometimes the word intentionally is used, sometimes the word willfully is used, sometimes the word knowingly is used. But if you understand the way criminal law works in South Africa, there is a need. No person can commit a crime unless he had what they call the necessary mens rea. In other words, he had the intention to commit the crime, or he committed the crime negligently, if that is what the law says, that negligence is sufficient. Honourable Member, the courts will not see it any other way. Whether you tell them in your law that this act, this offence can only be committed knowingly, intentionally, or willfully, your courts will understand that what you're putting down as a requirement is mens rea, that means intention, and not negligence. In other words, you cannot commit the offence of espionage by accident or by negligence. If you want that to be an offence, that's another matter. Then you must say intentionally and negligently. But if you use the words willfully, you're only referring to committing the act with the necessary intention. Now, I'm going to get a second opinion on my opinion.
Mr. Chairman?
Before, we're busy with legal argument now, Honourable Member, can you? And you had admitted that you were not an expert on criminal law, so we are experts talking here now. Can we get the opinion from the state law advisor on my opinion?
Chairperson put it quite correctly. It is the requirement is the mens rea to commit the crime, and that is captured in the intention to do so. So that must be reflected, Chairperson.
The Honourable Abrasini is saying he wants it changed willfully. My argument is that there's no difference.
That's quite correct, Chairperson. There is no difference. That the requirement, as indicated by Chairperson, is correctly captured.
What?
Just to support you that you're quite correct that it intentionally, knowingly, willfully is the same. Interestingly, in PIA, there's a reference to willfully. So it is purely interchangeable. And there is a reference there to one of the offences relating to damage in a record, willfully or negligently, which clearly distinguishes between an intentional or an omission. I don't think we need to spend a lot of time on this, Chair. Let's move on.
Chairman?
Honourable Abbasini, I allowed the discussion because you said there was some relevance to what we were dealing with. You are actually busy dealing with the offences now. You said that you want to have this discussion now so that you didn't have to raise this thing anew, ex novo, de novo, at the time, and that you wanted the minds, while they are busy thinking about this thing, you wanted to introduce this argument now, so that we don't forget when we get there what was discussed. Now, I think that matter is now sealed.
Well,
are you going to contradict me now?
Mr. Chairman, let me record the following. This is all for economy of discussion. We're discussing it now. They are related. I'm not going to raise the next point later. So I'm not... economy of time or whatever. So I'm not delaying. I bow to greater experience, but I nonetheless beg to differ.
Okay, point there of order, please.
I will. I'm sorry.
Can I just raise a point of order?
Yeah. So, Honourable Abbasini, there is a point of order.
We've dealt with this issue. Would you rule on it? Let's continue. We are all tired, and we've now expressed our views.
Yeah.
Let's continue, Chair. We sit till late at night. I'm tired, and let's move on, Chair.
But you're being tired. There's no reason for you to get grumpy. Now, I just want to finish my sentence.
Honourable members.
So
Before you proceed, is it something new you're going to say?
Well, let me say it. It's a sentence I would have finished by now.
A sentence.
Yes, a sentence.
A short sentence with no subordinates and no conditions.
I will produce a legal opinion. If the legal opinion supports my point, I will take the liberty of reopening the issue. If I don't produce the legal opinion, I'll shut up.
It wasn't a sentence, Honourable Member. You misled me. Can we proceed? Honourable Members, can we proceed? I've asked asked a few seconds ago whether there was a tea break. I got no answer. It was as if I had asked something that I should not have been asking. So I don't know. I'd like to ask again now on them. Is there tea? No answer. I understand that. I'm understanding now that one of our registered spies have gone to look. And until such time, I think let's move on. Who's next? Yes, Honourable Mania.
Chair, I just wanted to confirm that we've agreed to amend the definition of hostile activity to align it with PIA by deleting state and inserting republic.
Hold it now. So we're back to where we are. Because what we are faced with here in your document 11 on page 10 is that the Republic was what's the name? Deleted. There was a long, and please don't encourage this debate. There was a very long debate from the Honourable Abrasini that state and what's the name. But you can see the Canadians, where we learned this thing from, and PIA was quite precise about the Republic. There was this argument that they're not, the state and the Republic is not the same thing. Now, the Honourable Mania is saying, let's go back to the Republic. That would be consistent with the Canadians, where we actually loaned the thing from. They actually refer to Canada. And I take it the Republic, we mean South Africa. We would be... yes, Honourable Anders.
Chair, then I must support the Honourable David Mania's proposal that we reinsert with the humblest apologies to our drafters, because we're going back and forth, that the word Republic be reinstated and the word state be removed.
Now, this might affect your definitions now. Am I correct, Ms. Watson? Will you just keep that in mind? Because now your state... I just want to also, you must be reminded that we're talking here of a state with a capital S, and we also talk in the bill of a state with a small S. Yeah. So I take it the state with a capital S is the Republic, and the state with a small S is just some other state.
Yeah.
We need to capture that thing properly then. But look, let's go through and see where are we now, Honourable Members? Everything else in the definitions agreed to. Yes, Honourable Main.
Chair, I assume that the Honourable Ambrosini is moving through the definitions sequentially, and I think he's now going to move on to his third problem. But before we do, I would just like to draw your attention to the definition of confidential information on page 9, which I had understood we intended to delete simply because it was superfluous.
Correct.
I would just suggest it's an omission, Chair.
Honourable Member, that's a new proposal. It's not registered in my documentation. That doesn't mean that I couldn't have made a mistake, but it's highly unlikely that I made a mistake. There's a new proposal on the table then, Members, and that is to delete the definition of confidential information. We did not delete it. I would have marked it. It does not, because it's. You understand. Yes, sir. What is it that you understand that I don't understand?
Chair, if I recall correctly, the discussion about deleting the three classifications levels from the definition, I think it arose when we were discussing secret classification. And it's precisely for that reason that we decided to delete secret and top secret, and why you probably did not mark the deletion of confidential information, simply because the discussion had not arose at that point. And that's why the drafters, I think, have probably also not deleted it.
Can I just get the voice?
There was a discussion, it was quite correct, but the issue was flagged for further discussion at the time when we got to top secret because of the classification. I've got it in my notes at top secret flagged.
Getting my point is getting stronger. I've got witnesses, Mr. Landers. Now, honourable members, the proposal now is a more revolutionary one now. It is now to almost commit some crime unknown yet to us, but it seems now that you want to delete all definitions relating to top secret, secret, and confidential. Is that what is on the table?
No,
that's not on the table, but that's what I heard. Why can we not say, because I think that the confidential information is actually quite a neat and simple thing. It doesn't tell you anything.
Yeah, I'll tell you
No, It merely says, if you read the definition, you normally, when you go to that section, you normally expect to find an explanation what it is, and you're enlightened after you come out by the definition section. But what this thing is saying is just go and look in section 15 and then, you know. Now, why can we not define all of them like that? And say, you want to know what top secret information is about? Go to section so and so. Go to chapter. No. There's many, many laws refer you to the text when it comes to definitions. It at least helps you. Yes, sir.
Chair, in the interests of stopping the pain, we will agree to include all three classification levels in the definition, but on provision that, on the agreement that all three need to stay in the interest of stopping the torture, Chair.
The agreement then is the way it was my proposal. No. It makes a bill incomplete when the terms or the concepts that are so vital to the bill do not appear in the definition section. If you, when newcomers read this bill, they want to see, well, you know, they go to the definition section, at least they would know that we did give it some attention.
The chairman is still convinced that the people of South Africa read the definition section.
It was Boyce, what I would suggest is that either the section or the chapter, I don't know what the honourable members will have the meaning assigned to it. If you look at confidential information, if you give the others the same treatment, top secret and secret, you know, assigned to it in that, either that section or that chapter, whichever is going to be more appropriate. Now, honourable members, can we go on? Honourable Swat.
Chair, just the definition of demonstrable harm, I think we agreed should come out. The courts will decide on it, have decided, and they know what it is, so we can delete demonstrable harm means.
Mr. Chairman?
It's Honourable Abrasini. You want to differ with that?
Well, it is true that we had a discussion, but then somebody said, fine, but it's not only for the court. This act guides the officials. So let's put what demonstrable harm means, because it will inform the regulations and will assist those who need to implement the act, which is the first job of the act.
You don't seem to have support for your proposal, Honourable Member. No, if you had support, then I would have to take it in. You are in the minority. Can you support the proposal that is on the table, that it be deleted? It's a much easier one. Demonstrable harm, delete it. Can we proceed, Honourable Member? Somebody took us back to demonstrable harm. It was correct because even in our document it remains loose. There was no definition there. It's deleted now. No further discussion on that. Can we go to the next? That was beautifully taken from the Croatians, if you remember. The additional words that you wanted your optical and your digital agreed to. Honourable members, page 12.
We are still waiting for Mr. Glomore to come back and address us on
the blocks.
Blocks, eh?
And the files. Yep. Honourable members, page 12 and 13. lots of deletions there on page 12 up to page 14. Intelligence comes from that Oversight Act agreed to. Engage the non-actor, non-state actor on 15. Agreed to. Page 16. Classification authority is fine. Prescribed means prescribed by regulation. Made in, that can't be, you can't agree, not agree to that. It's merely stating the obvious. 17. Request is new. Honorable Anders.
If we have a definition for request, why do we need another one for requester? Well, that's the point. Isn't it self-evident? Yes, but you don't need a definition of requester if you have a definition of request.
Yeah, it takes care of the difficulty that was in the tabled bill under which only certain groupings were allowed to request classified information. It also arose, there was some difficulty that arose somewhere.
But it's self-evident that if you have a definition of request and spells out what that means, then the person making the request is the requester. But do you need to put that in a definition?
Mr. Chairman?
I think any person in here was the point, because there was an attempt to limit the people who could apply.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, what the two definitions needs to have, and it could be under requester or requester, is a clarity on who can make the request, and this is what we are trying to reach. And let me finish. I mean, it's getting. No, it's not. I mean, you know, I can interrupt on any half sentence, I say. The concept is any person can do it. We are in agreement. We stock the words any person in the request, in the definition of requester, but that, in my opinion, doesn't do the trick, because it means any person who makes the request, but still it doesn't tell you who can make the request. And the notion was to make sure that any person can make a request. So the words any person needs to be stuck under the definition of request, at which point the definition of requester can be deleted. But the important thing is to stick the word any person under the definition of request. What I suggest that request means a request made by any person in relation to blah, blah, blah. Again, Request means a request made by any person in relation to, and then requester goes.
Have you got that, honorable members? Are you in agreement with that, honorable members? We're not going to come back to that.
No.
Because it's simple. You've got that, as Boyce, you're going to ask any person. And then the definition of request is going to be deleted.
Removed.
Okay? This is... I don't know who else this thing is going to apply to, because if we restrict it to non-persons or... I was just trying to comment on any person. Do you want to speak further, Honorable Anders?
If Osama bin Laden's successor requests... Yes. Yes, he could. And then what are you going to do?
Mr. Chairman,
sometimes you should.
Yeah. Information under the Constitution as a human right. The human right attaches to the quality of being human. So either one has the right or doesn't have the right. We cannot discriminate on the basis of whom we like and whom we don't like, no matter how deeply we dislike. And I do accept that it could be the devil incarnate. But the devil incarnate has exactly the same rights as you have and I to access information.
Ah, if he's a South African. No. If he's a South African. No.
Is Section 32 an anyone or is it a citizen? It's an
no,
anyone.
No.
Every
see,
person.
Mike, the question.
Dr. Zawahiri can request.
He can?
Honourable members, can I allow the Honourable Mentor, because she has raised her hand, she wants to be heard. Thank you.
I don't agree with Honourable Ambrosini. Yes, there are rights, and rights are constitutionally granted, but rights can be limited. So, there are only two rights that cannot be limited, is the right to life and the right to human dignity. Sorry?
Chairman? Okay.
Yeah.
The limitation of rights relates to space, manner, and place. You cannot limit rights by excluding a category of people from the benefits of
honorable
rights.
Members, you
Section 32 refers to everyone, so it attaches to anyone who is human.
I don't know why you pursue this thing. Our constitutional courts have already ruled that these rights apply to foreigners too. And irrespective of how you want to read your constitution, there are constitutional court cases that says that these things in the Bill of Rights also apply to foreigners. Now, I don't want to get into... Do you want to comment on this? Can we hear Ms. Boyce, please?
Chairperson, and the request will be on an application that is made, and the reasons will be stated in the application for why the request is made. So, yes, Chairperson, but your application will indicate the information you request. And Chairperson, it is correct in the PIA provisions that any person is entitled to information contained.
Honourable members, this argument that you are raising. Honourable members, these discussions that you are now entering into are unauthorized. If you want to argue about fundamental rights and who and how they apply, I suggest that over tea or over dinner or over lunch, you would find the necessary space and then you would attack one another on your views on that particular topic. The topic does not apply here, honourable members. Please, I see you want to deviate, you want to confuse me, but I can assure you I'm not asleep yet. So can we proceed with the work at hand? This any person will be added, and it will have the meaning that we know it has. And if some strange people request information, we will let the authorities deal with that and see whether it's in the national interest or in the national security or for what other laws might apply. That they. Well, I don't want to get as specific as some of you got for fear that I might get letters from strange people. Honourable members, a request will then be dealt with in the manner in which I have said. Requester is going to be deleted. We will not come back to request because the state law advisor has assured us that she has captured the words that you want her to alter and to insert. We finish with the relevant minister. Is there any objections? It means a cabinet minister whose portfolio is affected by this act agreed to. Having agreed to that, I'm going to adjourn because I am told that there is tea. We will adjourn It is 11:30 on my, just after half past, we will reconvene at 12:10.